So back to it, and if you want to jump on board, and by the way, some of you might just want to say amen, sisters, preach it, whatever. Please don't hesitate to call. It's 800-6. Somebody call just to prove that we have listeners, all right? 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And I got to be honest, we're keeping it real. A conversation like this, I know, is cutting deep into the heart of a lot of people. So this isn't, because the fact the phones aren't ringing is no indication of how this is being received. But I feel bad for you guys because you might think, well, maybe nobody cares about what we're saying. And that is not true.
We know better.
We know way better. And this, I just want to say this to anyone who's listening. Freedom is worth every hardship you have to go through to get it. I mean, sometimes your pain encapsulates you so much that you think, well, that may work for that girl. Oh, it may work for the chick down in Texas. It may work for Neil Boron, but it couldn't work for me. God doesn't love me like that. Let me tell you something. He took a crackhead prostitute that stood on the street corners, that lived on the streets, that committed crimes, talking about me, that had five abortions, and God turned my life around. Mm. I'm telling you, if you're struggling with addiction, if you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling with just who you are as a woman, if you don't know what you're supposed to do, God has the answer for you. He is the answer. And don't keep comparing your insides with other people's outsides. Right. So, you know, if you just want to talk and say, call in, we just want to pray for you in our private time. We want to be able to hold you close to us and ask God to do in your life what he's done in all of ours.
Amen. All right.
Yeah.
Let me get to, we've got Kathy Gray with us here. She's co-author of the book with Lisa Kratz Thomas. And so Kathy is on one line, but let me bring in another Kathy into the conversation from Toronto. Kathy, great to have you with us. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay. So you're listening to the conversation here. So, you called us for a reason. Whatever's on your heart, it's fair game, so go for it.
Yes, I'm listening pertaining to the abortion. Many years ago when I was a young girl, my husband, who's deceased now, and I, we were both young people, you know. Mm-hmm. And I got pregnant several times and had to have an abortion because we weren't ready for children, you see. We weren't ready. And it tells on our mind and our hearts all the year long, years of it, and we never had children because of that. My husband always says, whatever is happening to us is because we have been punished for what we did.
Oh, my.
And so
yeah,
it bothers me a lot because I wanted children so badly after we got married.
Kathy, never. So sorry to hear.
I got pregnant twice. After we got married, and we lost them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All the abortions that I had.
So
it's not a nice thing. You live with that.
Yeah.
All your life. But you know, I get to know Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a Christian. And it's one of the best time of my life.
Amen. Mm. Well, Kathy, hang on. Let me have, I guess, Lisa first respond, and
well,
then
I would like to thank you, first of all, for calling and sharing that. Across the country, when I go and speak at any kind of pro-life events, women come up and talk to me about that having abortion so many years ago and how it played on their hearts and their souls. But for me, my husband and I tried for 3 years to get pregnant, and we couldn't. And every month, Satan would say to me, well, you'll never get pregnant because you killed your babies. You killed your babies. And so one day, I was laying on my bedroom floor, and I was crying out to God, and I said, Lord, look, I've done everything you've asked me to do, God. I quit smoking. I quit drinking. I quit using drugs. I'm trying to live for you. I love you, Lord. I have a great husband. You've given me so much, but God, I want to be a mother. You know my heart. Please forgive me for the babies that I murdered. Please, Lord, forgive me and let me go on with my life however you see fit. But God, I need you to let go. Help me to let go of that shame and that guilt that constantly haunted me. God, in my spirit, I felt God saying to me, get up, take out your pen. I have a letter for you, and I want to read that today. He said, dear Lisa, your times are in my hands. You are, and so are your children. For years, I've waited for you to come to me, to reach for me instead of the bottle, drugs, or men. Only I know and can fulfill the desires of your heart. And when you ask me for forgiveness, you receive it. I hung on that cross to reconcile all humanity to God, and I would have done it if you were the only person on this earth. That is how much I love you. Your children are in heaven with their Abba Daddy, awaiting the arrival of their earthly mother, where there will be reconciliation. And I love you. And I can tell you, knowing that one day I will be able to meet my children, and that they will welcome me with the love of Christ, has relieved the shame and the guilt of what I did in my sinful nature. He loves us so very much.
Wow, that's incredible.
Every day I cry out unto God. Every day for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I know He has forgiven me.
Amen. Mm. Well, let me ask Kathy Gray to respond for just a moment, and then maybe we can have one of these ladies pray for you. In fact, Kathy, why don't you share what's on your heart briefly, and then pray for Kathy from Toronto.
Kathy, I just want to tell you I am so, so sorry for your loss, and I understand the sadness that you have felt. And I am so grateful that the Lord has found you, because He is pursuing us. He loves us so much. He won't let anything we've done keep us from that love. He will continue to pursue us our whole life. So I just want to pray for you.
Yes.
Father, I lift up Kathy, and I thank you for her life. I thank you that the moment that she was conceived, you were delighted that she was going to make her appearance on this planet, and that you have a unique destiny that only she can fulfill. So, Father, I pray that you would give her many, many spiritual sons and daughters, that she would be also a mother to many in her life. I have the feeling that you've already been doing this, and I pray that you would increase her awareness of how much she is loved by those that she has poured her life into. And Father, I just pray that you would pour out your love in her heart, and that anything that remains that is sad and that is feeling the loss will be filled up with hope and expectancy of seeing her beloved children in heaven, and that she too would be filled with hope, and she'll pass this on to many, many mothers and fathers, women and men who have not been able to be mothers and fathers. Lord, we bless her. We are so thankful for her because we need her. She's our sister, and we're so thankful for her. So we ask that you would bless her richly and deeply in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
God bless you.
Oh, God bless you.
Thank you for your phone call. We're going to move along. We got to get to a number of other calls here, and so grateful for you taking the time to call in, Kathy. Lee, whoops, we lost Lee from Springville, so let's get right back to it here. And if you want to join us, it's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And if you want to jump on board with a question or comment, you're welcome, because we've got a little bit of time left here. But, you know, I don't think Kathy from Toronto, that her story is really that different from what other people are feeling, whether the issue is abortion or not. It's shame, and it's that the enemy wants to keep us in that place.
Right.
Yeah, where we can't be used, and yet freedom is available in Christ. That's the message of unexpected grace. that's part of this book. It isn't just about deception and murder. It's about unexpected grace.
You know, that the whole shame is such a deception, and it is so elusive. One of the things today you know, I've been in counseling off and on for years, and it's to know myself better and to know the Lord better. But, you know, I was talking about something a few weeks ago, and that I hinted on the fact that I felt, you know, ashamed, or I felt embarrassed for my thoughts about it.
Mm-hmm.
And my counselor said to me, Lisa, if you could go back and tell little five-year-old Lisa, you could speak wisdom, you could encourage her, what would you say to little five-year-old Lisa today? And, you know, I think about that, and I think about how I felt. I always felt that I wasn't good enough. I felt there was something wrong with me. I felt I was a bad little girl. And I think about my own daughter, and I think about what I've said to her. And I started now to focus those words on myself. You are more than enough. You are beautiful. You are loved. You are joyous. You are peace. You've got a future. All of those things. And it is not, it's just like forgiveness. We have to practice these things. They don't, people think, oh, I you know, I surrendered that. I gave that to the Lord and it's gone. You know what? I know God can do that. But from my own experience, it's been an ongoing thing. And I think the reason that God allows that to be that way is so that I never forget my dependence and my need for him in my life.
Well, and this verse is not one I would normally bring up here, but it popped in my head when you just said that. Paul in Galatians 3:3 says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Will you now be perfected by the flesh?" And I think what he's really saying there is, look, you trusted Christ for salvation by putting your faith and trust in him, but now you think that trying harder and stuff is going to be your answer. No, the same grace you needed for salvation is the grace you need to rely upon every single day for emotional healing, for strength, you know, to overcome temptation, to live the life that he's called us to. We need him every single day. And I think, Kathy, maybe you can reply to this in some fashion, but the fact is, the moment we start thinking we've got it together and that our lives are fine now, we've been healed, we're good to go, we're just going to rely on our own devices and fall flat on our face again, because we need Jesus in every moment, and that's what it means to walk with him and walk by the Spirit, so we won't carry out the desires of the flesh. I don't know. Am I making sense, Kathy?
Absolutely. I love that verse. I love that verse because I was such a performer. You know, it was all about, if I can just do it right, I will earn my place of acceptance, of love, and I would prevent anything bad from happening in my life. And so that verse is so great. Having begun by the Spirit, are you now going to walk in the flesh? You know, I had begun by the Spirit, and I was trying to live my life according to the flesh, and Lisa was an eyewitness of where that got me. It turned out in disaster. So, you know, the reality is, you mentioned it earlier, Neil, that we do live in a broken world. And so the reality for us is, pretty much, if we're not somewhat uncomfortable in some way and having to trust God with it, we're probably not growing very much, and we're probably not walking out the destiny that we've been born for. And it's a good destiny. I just want to say to anyone who is listening that you were born for a purpose, that God has immense plans for your life, and that we can't do without you. Like, we all need every one of us, which is one of the tragedies, by the way, of abortion. I was thinking today, you know, we've had so much controversy over our last two presidents, and either someone's really happy about it or someone's devastated. And you know, it's just there have been a lot of controversial issues. And, you know, what if the person that was meant to be president, he or she, never got a chance at life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are living in a land of ghosts because there have been millions of lives that haven't even seen the light of day because of this incredible deception. And so, you know, God, of course, he's bigger, he's beyond that, but we need all of these children. And anyway, I got a little off topic there, but it's just been kind of burning in me as we've been talking, thinking about how each person's destiny is so important. And there isn't one that's more important than the other. We each have a place to fill. Every life is needed.
We're down to our final few minutes with Lisa. She's going to need to head to Batavia. She's speaking at the All Babies Cherished annual fundraising banquet that's happening tonight at the Quality Inn in Batavia. So if you're headed there, you're going to be blessed. You're going to get a chance to hear from Lisa and some more about her story there. And I want to encourage you to support the ministry of All Babies Cherished. Learn about it, of course, and be a part of it. But in the final few minutes we've got here, I want to give each of you kind of an opportunity to tie a ribbon on this conversation. But then, Kathy, I'm just going to throw it out there. If you've got a few extra minutes beyond that, if you don't mind, maybe we could talk a little bit more about your own story. Since we've had the privilege of speaking with Lisa previously, we heard her Liberty University convocation speech and some other things in past months here on NBL. But would you have the opportunity to stick around after that for a bit?
I would be delighted to do that.
Awesome. Okay. So as far as this conversation, and, you know, we've been together now for about an hour and a half, talked a little bit about each of your stories and what the book is about. I just want to give you guys the floor for a minute and free rein to just speak from your heart. So, I mean, this is your time. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you, whatever burden you might be carrying or something you want to say, based on, you know, what's transpired thus far and what people might be thinking about the conversation. So let me start with Kathy this time, if you don't mind, and then we'll wrap it up with Lisa, and then Kathy's going to stick around. But you know, we haven't covered all the bases, and the book has way more information in it than we'll ever get to in this conversation. But how would you want to tie a ribbon on the conversation at this point?
You know, I think one of the things that I went back to in the book as I was thinking about this interview was a chapter that we wrote about what has abortion actually gotten us. There's so much information that's dealt out that says abortion will make your life better. We're not ready right now. You know, or this isn't a convenient time, or I'm too poor. I don't have, you know, the money to raise a child. And, you know, we wrote a chapter about the statistics of what's actually happened with all of these ideas. Well, we need for women to have an opportunity for education, or, you know, later on it'll be a better time to have a child, so forth. And the statistics are just glaring in terms of abortion is not the answer. It increases infertility, as we've heard both from Lisa and from our precious caller a little bit ago. Mm-hmm. It has taken so much out of our economy in terms of a workforce. There are psychological and physiological damages that take years to undo. Teenagers alone are 10 times more likely to attempt suicide within the first 6 months of having an abortion. There's psychological fallout on future family members. Bonding with future children is more difficult. It has been such a lie purported that this is, well, it may not be an attractive fix, but it's really okay, and it doesn't have long-lasting effects. And, you know, Jesus said it through Lisa. Jesus said, see how much I think of her. You know, you leave with an orange juice, with a cup of orange juice and a cracker, and go on your way. Oh my gosh, you know, the adoption thing alone. There's up to 36 couples available for every child. And it is staggering how much help is available. And so, you know, I would love for those things from the book, and that are just those real statistics,
right,
to be out there so that young women in their 40s, fathers of unborn children would have hope for. Because this is the thing for me, this whole thing about the deception of throwaway lives and abortion, suicide, all of these things that we cover in our book, the deception is there's no hope. And, you know, Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope, that is his name, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. there is hope. There is a future, and that's why I love Identity and Destiny so much, because once we get a hold of that there is a future, there's hope for us, then our decisions change drastically. We're willing to take the risk of going into an uncomfortable, unknown situation. Mm-hmm. So,
wow. It's huge. All right, one more thing, Kathy, and then I'm going to turn it over to Lisa for a second. Just so you know, I know Jesus. Jesus is a friend of mine. And as much as I love and respect Lisa, she's no Jesus. All right? I just want to make this clear. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I'll tell you this much, Neil. She has been Jesus to me.
Amen. Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you very much.
I couldn't even see Jesus. She was Jesus sitting in the chair next to me.
That's phenomenal. All right.
The feeling is mutual, for real. Oh, you know, I think about that. Kathy brought it up, throwaway lives. And what I've realized over the last 28 years in my sobriety, God has brought me from circumstance to circumstance and healed me in each of those circumstances. But, you know, we've got people who are addicted to drugs. We've got women who have had abortions. We've got people who will be coming from incarceration back to society. We've got foster care. We've got all these different things. And they're all things that that society has believed lies about. Mm-hmm. And somehow or another, they've put up these smoke screens to deal with each of these things. And they've labeled, well, if you're this, you're not as important as this. Or, you know, if you're a drug addict, you're not quite as important as the family over here that needs a little help that can't pay their bills. I mean, it's this back and forth kind of like manipulation. And what I've learned from my own personal journey, being inside of prisons on a regular basis, working with loved ones and people who are struggling with addiction, all different kinds of addiction, and with people who just are trying to integrate back into a world and be loved, is that every single life has value. Every single life has value. Without you, without me, we say it in our book, the puzzle is incomplete. Mm-hmm. Kathy alluded to that. And if we can somehow get through this concept that some people's lives are more beneficial than others, even ourselves, we've got to look at ourselves. You know, I have people say to me, oh, well, I could never do what you do. Well, I've never done with you what you've done. Yeah, no kidding, you've never done what I've done. You know, and thank God you never have. But God uses us. He takes us where we are. God does not waste one single hurt. He doesn't waste anything that's ever happened to us in our life. So I want to encourage people to use your testimony, share what God has done in your life. And if you are in a situation where you are trapped and you are feeling that you are shackled by your past, just remember this: your past does not have to dictate your future.
Amen.
God can free you, He can show you, and He can use that experience to be an opportunity for others.
Amen and amen.
Hey, amen.
Kathy, we're going to need to say goodbye to Lisa here in a second, and you're going to hang on, if I'm not mistaken. So let me just pray for Lisa, because she's speaking tonight mm-hmm. at that banquet. And Lord, I thank you for all that's been shared thus far. I thank you for the stories that are wrapped up in who Lisa is and who Kathy is. We thank you for what transpired in Bernard Nathanson, turning from being an abortion doctor mm-hmm. to a doctor who was all about supporting life. And I thank you, Lord, that he's with you today and that you have done that incredible work in his life. Anything is possible with you, Lord. There's nothing about our past that defines who we need to be today or tomorrow because of the hope that Kathy talked about, the hope that can be found in you. You're the God of all hope. And so, Lord, whatever the situation looks like in the lives of people that are listening today, we pray for your hope to reign supreme, and that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit and the power that brought Christ back from the grave, Lord, would begin to turn things in the direction of of finding hope in you and discovering what it means to truly live and not be under deception that the enemy wants to bring our way. And so I pray even for those who are going to be at the banquet tonight. We pray for the ministry of All Babies Cherished in Batavia. Mm. Bless that ministry, Lord. Bless the people that are coming. Thank you for their love and care and support for that ministry. But even as Lisa speaks tonight, Lord, even amongst those who are in favor of life, we all have issues. We all have stuff going on, and I believe that you go on to meet all of those folks in a very special place tonight. So, Lord, let Jesus' name be lifted up in that room at the Quality Inn in Batavia this evening, and use her powerfully to continue to tell the truth about who you are and how you can transform lives. We thank you for Lisa, for Kathy, for all of our listeners, and the opportunity we have to just revel in who you are, God, and revel in your unconditional love for us, because it's available no matter who we are and what we've done. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right, so you have a safe trip back to Batavia.
I will.
And thank you so much for coming all the way over here. And then, Kathy, you're on the phone in Texas today. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I am in North Texas.
All right. What part, what town in North Texas?
Just north of Dallas.
Okay.
The Dallas-Fort Worth area is called Highland Village.
Oh, okay. All right. Because my brother lived in Plano for a while.
Oh, yeah. That's just a hop and a skip over to the east.
Well, Lisa Kratz-Thomas is on her way to Batavia. She's speaking tonight at the All Babies Cherished Banquet at the Quality Inn in Batavia. And if you're headed there, make sure that you get an opportunity to say hi. You're going to love her to pieces. Kathy Gray is co-author of Light in Our Darkness, and these guys have been friends for 24 years. But who's keeping count, right, Kathy?
No. We haven't gotten any younger. That's the amazing thing. You know, no, we haven't gotten any older.
Older, yeah.
We haven't gotten any younger. But, yeah, we look better than we ever did.
No doubt. You know. Oh, there's no doubt. Yep, absolutely. There's just so much in this book. And one of the things I want to, just in a practical sense, want to say that because this is a really unique concept that you came up with the idea of seeing the grace that was poured into Dr. Bernard Nathanson's life. Of course, he had been a renowned abortionist. Later in life, was behind movies like The Silent Scream, and you know, some of his research and everything has really helped propel the pro-life movement forward, what God has done in his life. But you saw yourself, and Lisa saw herself in his story. You saw each other in each other's stories. You know, that Jesus was central and that God's grace was available for all of you, even though you came from different places. But what's cool is that you've taken time, and maybe just comment briefly, that in the book, you know, chapter by chapter, you kind of interweave each other's stories. Like, you know, it's about Lisa, then it's about Bernard, then it's about Kathy, and back and forth.
Yeah, that we felt like we needed that common thread, which does exist. I mean, we couldn't be more different. Seriously, we're, you know, different areas of the country. He's, you know, different genders. He's an intellect. You know, Lisa is, you know, a powerhouse. I grew up in this ministry home. I mean, we just had such different backgrounds. But, you know, the Lord created the human heart, and there is such similarity, you know, between us all.
Right.
And that's why the principles of life and the principles of deception are universal. Nobody escapes, you know, the common ways that we're deceived, the common temptations, that kind of thing.
Now, you mentioned earlier, and we know Lisa's story better. It's why I asked you to stick around a bit, because I hadn't met you until today. But you grew up in this, you know, spiritual environment, religious home, you know, Christian home, but I got to believe a lot of rules and regulations, especially expectations, right? And have to be a certain way, do a certain thing and all that. But in the midst, there was a lot of pain and stuff. And at some point, and I believe it was when you were an adult, you actually came to a breaking point and kind of collapsed and crashed and burned at that point. Can you, without going into all the details, help us see a little bit more of your own journey?
So, let me say, I did grow up in a Christian home. Parents loved the Lord. And there were expectations, and there was an atmosphere of perfectionism, intellectualism, that kind of thing. But it was certainly, they were unaware of that. We were all unaware of that.
Right.
You know, you just don't know what you don't know when you're in the middle of that. And, in that environment, it was not from my parents, but there were others that sexually abused me. And that I was, it really didn't fit in the framework of this Christian world. You know, it didn't make any sense to me, and I buried those memories. I still remembered things. I just didn't classify them for what they actually were. They came out in the form of nightmares, extreme separation anxiety, depression, anger, fear was huge, just huge. And I was just a very fearful person. But I didn't really, I mean, I knew I was fearful and I was really ashamed of that. And Lisa touched on that earlier. The, you know, Satan will tempt you to do something. And then once you do it, that's the thing he'll use to hold you in shame. So, you know, I would be threatened. Oh, you're going to be separated. No one loves you. You know, you're going to just these fears of abandonment, that kind of thing.
Right.
Which, you know, wasn't the case. I didn't have a broken home or anything like that. And then I'd go into all this fear and have a panic attack, and then I'd feel so ashamed. And then there's this, what's wrong with you? Why can't you just trust God more? So in my life, the Christian principles were actually used in the hands of the enemy in order to accuse me of not being good enough. I think that's kind of a common thing. But the sexual abuse, of course, exaggerated all of the shame and anyone who's experienced that or knows anything about it knows that there, you know, it's such a deep violation of boundaries and personal self that, you know, that alone is a huge topic. However, in, you know, with what happened with me was I got up, I grew up and I got married and, you know, had a couple of kids, and I was working very hard to be kind of the perfect Christian woman, mom, just, you know, just right. trying to do all of this performance, and inside feeling like a failure. And one day when I was 28, we got a phone call that my brother had been murdered. And that rocked my world. It rocked my world. That just wasn't supposed to happen.
Right.
You know, my thesis in life was, if I do the right things, bad things won't happen. That in and of itself is a deception. I don't know where I picked that up, but I just kind of figured out, you know, it was back in the day, too, of James Dobson. If you do these things, then your kids will turn out great, that kind of thing. You know,
right.
just do these things. So about a year after that, I confided in a family friend that I was having horrible nightmares. And in fact, this is a big part of my story, and it's in the book. I've always been a vivid dreamer, but the nightmares, and, you know, my sister is the same way. It was horrible. Every night we didn't sleep well because we had such horrible nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
And you wake up screaming and so forth. So I told this friend about that. And it was kind of a shameful thing for me because I thought, you know, what is wrong with me? But, you know, if I just memorized more verses, if I were just a better Christian, then I wouldn't have, you know, these nightmares. I wouldn't feel so bad about myself. Anyway, she said, you know, honey, that's not normal. And I think you need to see someone about that. And we got a group of friends together. We just started praying. And that's when I started remembering the abuse. And what had been fragments in my memory now became, oh, my gosh, that wasn't just like a dream, because I, you know, my nights were so filled with lots of entertaining things, to put it mildly. It turned from, oh, my gosh, that was just something that I, you know, sort of imagined at one point. But it was all of the things started fitting together, and I realized this really did happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And a year later, we moved from Colorado to Virginia and had another child, ran out of money. I'm living in this neighborhood with Lisa, and one day it just snapped. And it's what they would call clinical depression. It was a nervous breakdown. And I couldn't function. I was in constant panic, the same kind of panic attacks I'd had as a child that I hadn't had for about 14 years. You know, just I was not functioning, and I had no idea what was happening to me. So, you know, I've also been involved in a 12-step program for over 20 years, and it's for friends and families of alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Lisa, she, you know, introduced me to the 12 steps. And, you know, we talk about how, you know, someone who has a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction, you know, they're killing their body slowly or quickly. We do the same thing in our obsession over perfectionism, in our obsession of whether we're doing it right, over with shame in our life. We have that same, the same results that happen in our body. We mm-hmm. have heart attacks, we have strokes, we have nervous breakdowns, get the shingles. You know, I mean, things happen like that. And that was what brought me to a place of what I'm doing isn't working. And that's when the light of God started coming into my life. I finally started dealing with these deeper questions that I had pushed aside, thinking, well, good Christians shouldn't think about those things, you know. I started grappling with them because my life depended on it. My family's life depended on how this turned out. So that's a little more detailed of where I came into deception and how God started breaking through with his truth.
I want to get to Luana, I hope I'm saying that right, in North Tonawanda, and I think this is possibly my good friend from long ago. Luana, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Neil. Can you hear me?
Yes, we've got you. And I, just so Kathy knows, I think I interviewed Luana about her testimony of God's grace and deliverance in her own life probably 25 years ago. Am I right about that? At least that long?
At least, yes, maybe more.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Wonderful.
So you're on with Kathy. Go ahead, Luana. It's good to hear from you.
I just want to say I'm so blessed to hear about the tremendous work that you are doing. Sexual abuse, abortion, all that needs to be spoken about, and there needs to be transparency within the church. You have to bear with me. I took my dog out and forgot to put my dentures in.
Keeping it real, Luana. Keeping it real.
I gotta take a drink. Yeah, an embarrassing moment. Yep. Hold on a second.
All right. Listen, I just want to mention that Luana has an incredible personal testimony. I'm going to see if she can just relate just a small portion of it, you know, when she's ready, because she was one of the first to talk about what she'd been through and was a courageous warrior in the early days of talking about stuff that her testimony's made of. And I don't want to put her on the spot because maybe she's not comfortable doing it. But Luana, are you back with us yet?
Yes, I'm fine, Neil.
Okay.
Yes.
Just for...
I'm a survivor of sexual abuse. And also, my father had prostituted us children along with my mother. I grew up hating men. I went into the lesbian lifestyle for many, many years. I had reoccurring dreams that I couldn't understand, and through counseling with Dr. Tim Chambers, I came to realize that my father and mother took me to a doctor when I was 13 years old to have an abortion performed on me. And it was a rant. The whole scene, it was just so vivid, you know? And to this day, my family's in denial. At one point, I walked away from God. I got angry about something and said I was going back into the lifestyle. I didn't listen to Christian counsel, and I didn't realize where my life was going to go. And it took me to crack houses, doing things that I never thought I would be doing. And being homeless, living under viaducts, and I even went to prison for 18 months. And I am so blessed to hear about the work. And I pray Neil would give you, if you would like, I'd like to talk with you one day.
If that's possible, Kathy, maybe we can arrange for you to have a conversation with Kathy at some point, Luana. But
yes,
we can talk about that. Off, let's not mention the phone numbers or anything on the air, but I'm sure that can happen. But let me just add in here, Kathy, this is really, I think, a God moment, because even talking about the dreams, and Lisa told me, you know, a little bit, obviously, about your story. You also referred to that, and God can speak to us in a variety of ways and wake us up, point us in a direction in all kinds of ways, including through our dreams. And I don't know if you want to comment on that, but Luana is a sweet sister in the Lord. She's been through so much, and she's a champion for Jesus. And I just want, Luana, I want you to know that I love you and wish I could give you a hug. I haven't seen you in so many years, but Kathy, your comments
maybe
for
one
her?
Day I'll stop down, and I just want to say his mercy leads us to repentance.
Amen. Amen. All right. So, Kathy, your comments for Luana?
Yeah, Luana, my heart just grieves for that kind of an upbringing that would so distort what our Heavenly Father is like. And so that there were so many assaults on your person as a beautiful daughter, as a beautiful woman. And I am absolutely mouth wide open at the mercy of God, and that he has your heart, and that he brought you out of that kind of darkness and into being, as Neil was saying, a champion for him. That, you know, when someone looks at a story like yours, at a life like yours, no one can say, I'm beyond help, you know, or that God can't do anything with me. And I commend you for listening to the Lord as he has taught you truth, and the things that your aching heart was compelled towards with the drugs and with the lesbian lifestyle that was compelled out of fear and woundedness, that you allowed the Lord himself to pull you back into your real destiny and who you truly are. And I'm just so thankful to hear your story.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. And I am blessed. Thank you. And you be blessed, too.
Thank
you. And Neil,
you.
Maybe one day I'll stop in the studio.
I would love to have you stop by sometime, Luana. Listen, I'm going to put you on hold, and Zach Mann will get your phone number and maybe your email as well. Phone number and email. And then, Kathy, if you get an opportunity, maybe
wonderful.
You could reach out a little bit. But
absolutely.
Right. Thanks so much. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and another thing I wanted to say is it's very interesting that the Lord, you know, was giving her a dream that would break open the reality of what was actually in her that needed to be healed.
Right.
I don't know if Lisa's ever mentioned it to you, but this is a passion of mine, is hearing God through our dreams.